All right, Russell.
And then I just wanted to say thank you guys so much for the privilege of being a part of this community, part of this body, and really just being able to enjoy the incredible fellowship, the stimulus, the teaching that we've had over the last several weeks, and even over the last many, many years. It's just been so encouraging for Wendy and I. And I think one of the things that's been as impactful as anything has been the incredible privilege and joy of just seeing Christ through each of you, and as you have loved us, as you have ministered to us, as you have encouraged us, and just the expression of God and His love through that. As I was been reflecting lately over the challenges that we're facing, whether it be the global pandemic, the coronavirus has brought on, or the social and even the racial unrest that our country's going through, and you know, there's so many huge things that have been turned upside down. Someone mentioned the other day, these are unprecedented times. You know, the headline we keep seeing in the news, these are unprecedented times. And I just kept asking myself, are they really? Like, you know, have challenging things not happened throughout history? I mean, I think people have been through a lot more difficult things than we're going through. But so I decided I would think just a moment, what is an unprecedented time? And unprecedented just means without previous instance, never before known or experienced or unparalleled. And I was thinking, you know, there are things in our lives today that maybe are unparalleled, certainly in our lifetimes, as we, you know, try to find answers to and navigate uncertainties and challenges around even how we work, how, where, when, if we get to work, whether it's worship and even our community. You know, we're socially distancing this morning on Zoom instead of being able to be together in the room together and hug one another and enjoy the warmth and the love in that expression. So God is graciously giving us another expression of that. And I could go on and on with the challenges that maybe we're experiencing that are based on the times. But the reality is, just even as Eric just shared, life goes on in the midst of a pandemic. As Peggy was sharing, weddings go on in the midst of a pandemic, and their consequences and challenges of the implications of those things are huge and way heavy on our hearts. And you know, you guys have been so gracious, Wendy and I, as you've walked with us as we have sought to follow the Lord, to love Him, to love one another, to love you guys, to love our family, and raise them in the way the Lord would have us to do that. And it has been full of challenges and trials and difficulties along the way. And there really had been even, you know, a period of time in which in my life, and I would say for Wendy as well, where there were many days where I didn't know what else to say other than, Lord, I need you. There's a song by Matt Mayer that he's saying, Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. Oh, how I need you. And just as you unpack that song, it just, for me, just, it speaks deeply, 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 to my soul and to my heart. And, truly transformational for me in just its plea that I'm incapable. I don't have the answer or the solution. I can't solve the problems, but thankfully I know the one who holds all things in his hands. And I don't know if you experience moments like that where you feel like, hey, I'm just holding on. I don't know, you know, what I'm going to do the next minute. I don't know what the next day is going to hold. But Lord, I need you in this minute. And I certainly can have experienced that and have experienced God's goodness in the midst of those things. One thing that that thinking about this has really brought to my mind, and it was something that I've shared with some of you before, but it's this whole topic of just how do we deal with the intensity of life? How do we deal with the anxieties of our own sinful flesh? How do we deal with the challenges that that information and answers that we give now seem inappropriate with new information just 24 hours later? So just as we navigate that, this is something that I've continued to think about. This was something that I wrote in my journal several months ago as I was reflecting over this idea. And I just wanted to take today to, John asked me, would I be willing to share a testimony today? And so today that's what we're doing. This is a testimony from my heart to yours. So if you'll bear with me, it may be a little lengthy, but I'd love just to read it. So lately I've been thinking about John and Emmy's adoption. And before I do that, I don't want to screen share, because when I was thinking about this morning, just that I had a remembrance of a picture, and so I wanted to be able to share that with you. You guys let me know if you can see it. Can you guys see that?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, we can see it.
So if you can see the picture there, just sometimes a picture's worth a thousand words. Sorry. Lately I've been thinking a lot about John and Emmy's adoption. For some reason, they felt so different, even from Luke and Levi, our older two, that we adopted here in Birmingham through Lifeline. Going to the orphanage in Brazil, the institutional setting of their impersonal plight, I could see and feel their plight, their need, their hopelessness. They had no idea what was really happening to them. They had no idea their lives were changing forever. They were scared to death. John, he withdrew and became silent, weeping and trembling with total fear. He held so tightly to my neck and would not look up or around from the moment that we left the orphanage for the 10 to 12 hour bus ride all the way back to our city. The only time that he looked up was when Wendy offered him a cup of water to drink. He drank it like he would never get another drink in his whole life. But he was not holding on because he trusted us or knew that we loved him. He wasn't holding on to us because he knew that we were going to take care of him. He was holding on for dear life in sheer terror and in desperation just to survive. I think my heart hurts the most because I can really identify with him. I do often grab hold of my father's neck, not in rest and peace, but in desperation and in a desire to just survive. Oh, that how I long to experience God's love and acceptance, and to know that his heart is to care for me and that his heart is for my rest. Just as I longed to comfort my son in his deepest need, my Heavenly Father longs to comfort us. This picture that you see here was the first picture taken of us with John the day of his adoption. On this day, everything in John's life was changing. He may have had on new clothes and a new name, but in his heart, he didn't know the love of his father and mother. He didn't know the care and the deep abiding love that we had for him. That was to come. This is a psalm that I would love to look at with you. I apologize. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. This is Psalm 100. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Well, I just think about, for me, so often I am similar to John, in that, my circumstances and my past can define how I think about what's going on. And what's so great about passages like this one is that it calls me to lift my eyes up off myself, to lift my eyes up off of my situation and circumstance, to lift my eyes up off of the things going on around us, and to remember the Lord and to know the Lord, he is God. Do we know that when things seem haywire around us? Do we walk in that understanding? Some people have said before that one of the longest distances is the distance between our mind and our heart. It's only about 12 inches or so, yet it can be miles and miles away. In my mind, I know the Lord is my Father, and I desperately desire to walk in that reality. But in the depth of my heart, how am I experiencing Him? How am I knowing Him? Do I know that He is Lord? He is God. He's the one who made us. I'm His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. He takes incredible care for us and watches over us and provides for us. I thought we might try a question and put this up on chat. I'm in full screen mode here, so if we could put this up on chat. In your life, how is it that you see God? How is it that you're experiencing God? Could some of you be willing to share some of those things? Apparently in screen mode, I can't see chat. Can you guys see it? Here we go.
Just put the question up on chat for you.
There we go. I know we're challenging ourselves here with technology. There's a button down on at the bottom of your screen for chat. Mysterious, loving, but silent. Wise and merciful Father, all that I have. Amen, amen. Forgiving, sustainer. Amen. You know, when I'm constant and faithful in unfailing love and grace. Unfathomable. Amen. Amen. I think one of the things that, as I think about this, I'm so called to think about the Lord in incredible and deeper ways, to experience Him and His love. But sometimes I struggle in my heart's part. If I'm honest, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and sometimes how I'm experiencing God is distant. And is He insensitive to these challenges going on in my life? And are these things not important to Him? And it is just so incredibly encouraging for me when we can go back to the reality that He is our Heavenly Father. Amen. People are still posting some things in that.
Oh, that's great. Type in that's great.
Amen. This is a verse. John, you're unmuted there. You want to read this verse for us? 1 John 3:1a. All right, I'll read it. It says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are." Just as we had talked about at the beginning of this this call, the incredible reality is that our Heavenly Father has given us an incredible love. It's a gift. It's not something that we earned. It's not something that we chose. When we went to the orphanage in our adoption of each of our children, there was not something they had done. They didn't do something to earn our love or to to deserve it, but in God's sovereignty and in his loving plan for our family and for their lives, God had chosen to bring us together as a family. And in that love, we had the opportunity to give to them the same love that our Father has given to us, an unconditional love, love that's based on himself and not on us. And that our situation, like theirs, had changed positionally. I'm now a child of the King. I'm now a son and co-heir with Christ. And the incredible joy in that is that we get to walk not only with security, not only do we have a Father's neck that we can hold on to and cling to, but we have a Father who goes before us. We have a Father who cares for us and cares for our needs. I was reminded of this poem that really has been helpful for me just as I'm thinking about this. How am I thinking about my Father? How am I thinking about the Lord? And I just wanted to be able to share that with you. I don't know the author of this poem, but it's called This One. This One, he is our Father, your burden bearer, your spirit, your joy, your most intimate and safe friend. He is the one who feeds your soul, the one who lifts your arms, the one who redeems your life. He heals your pain and feels your empty heart, places and quietens our heart. Our empty places and quietens our heart. This one is Jesus. And it's just incredible for me when I think about this. This is almost a compilation of some of my favorite truths from many of the Psalms. Just being reminded of God's incredible love, and that when I'm burdened, he's not distant. He's our burden bearer. When I am sad or challenged, he is our joy. He is our intimate and safe friend. There's nothing that I can't bring to him that'll surprise him, because he's God and he knows all things. But as I can do that, it opens up so many opportunities. So as I've been reflecting over this one, I was just thinking about if the Lord would allow us to not just survive when we're going through challenging things, but experience deep, abiding soul rest, what can we do in response to his great love? And what is it that we can do in our heart and in the situation? And so I was really encouraged. to kind of open to you guys an invitation to deeper soul rest in your Father. You know, the things that you may be facing today may be more severe that you can't even express in words. Or today they may be relatively light in comparison to other days or experience in your life. But I really feel like these are kind of four opportunities for us to journey together deeper toward soul rest. The first one is from Psalms 46, 10a. And it just says, be still and know that I am God. I think one of the biggest challenges for me, again, I'm just sharing a testimony. One of the biggest challenges for me is the challenge to get my eyes up from myself and onto the Lord. And one of the reasons is because I tend to, I want to be a doer. I kind of am wired as a doer. And so I see a problem, I see a need, I see a situation, and I'm just drawn to want to engage and try and see a solution. And, it's kind of the opposite of being still. It's like constant motion and energy. And so for me, in order to be still, that I can really focus on the Lord, I really have to take some time and draw away and to get alone with God and His Word. I like to take a journal and I like to write down everything that's on my heart. And I write those things down, kind of in the form of prayer. If God brings my mind that I'm worrying about something, I'm thinking about something, if I can't get it out of my head, and out onto the paper, then it just rattles around in there because there's a lot of empty space up there, I think. If I can get it out of my head and onto paper, it allows me to even write that out at like a prayer and to commit that to the Lord and really see Him as God. The second one is really, similar. It's out of Psalm 38. In this, we're just asking God to help us understand what's in our heart. So if I'm trying to empty myself and to really focus on the Lord, what typically happens is the Lord begins to bubble up. As I see Him, I see the things from my own heart. And because He's my Heavenly Father and because He cares for me, He gives me the courage to venture into some of those places, some of those closets, some of those drawers where I tucked things away because I didn't want to think about them today. They were too painful to think about. They were too challenging to think about. And so just being able to commit those things to the Lord. Psalm 38:9 says, can someone read that? It's covering up. The screen's covering up on mine. I can't read that. Verse.
I'll read it.
Okay.
O Lord, my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you.
Amen. It's just incredible to me. You know, earlier when I was sharing, sometimes I can feel like God's distant or maybe he's not interested. But there's not a single longing in my heart that's not before Him, that He doesn't know, that He's unaware of. My sighing is not hidden from you. And this was really, when I was thinking about this, this was really cool. So something that Wendy has been so good in my life to do, whether we're sitting and enjoying a television show together, we're walking somewhere, we're riding in the car, sometimes she'll go, honey, what's the matter? And I typically respond with, nothing. Why do you ask? And she says, well, you just sighed. And I was like, really? I didn't even realize I was doing that. And as I began to pay attention to that, when she would ask me that question, I began to, well, what am I? What is going on? Why did I sigh? And I began to become aware of problems or challenges I'm trying to solve or things I'm worrying about that I have no control over and no way of affecting the outcome. They give me an incredible opportunity to give those things over to my Heavenly Father and to stop carrying them around. I can't solve them. And so, it says that the Lord, that our sighing is not hidden from Him. Those things that we're wrestling with, there's not a single one of them that He's not aware and that He doesn't desire to engage with us in and to help us with. The third thing that really is the invitation to deeper soul rest is just as God begins to show us those things, as He shows me my incredible tendency to try and take control because I feel like I've got to influence how things end up, instead of being able to trust my Heavenly Father, that He has everyone's best interest at heart and that He is at work. And so I want to take that and repent of that and lay those things at the foot of the cross. Melody, could you read this verse for us?
I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Amen. Amen. It's just incredible to me that our Heavenly Father has called us unto Himself, and that He gives us this privilege to bring all things before Him. One of the things that's been so encouraging, giving courage to me, has just been the reality that godly conviction, when God is the one doing the convicting and He's the one who is pointing things out and calling me to Himself, the end is always repentance. The end of godly conviction is always repentance. If there's something that feels like death and judgment and shame, it's not coming from your Heavenly Father, but from the enemy who would love to steal our joy and peace in the Lord. And so as we do this, we find not only the forgiveness, but God's grace, transformation, and renewal. And I know I'm running over, and this is the last thought I was just going to share, is this idea of as we go on this journey, invite someone to walk with you. Melody, could you read James 5:16 there real quick?
Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working.
Amen. You know, John, you were just talking about this at the beginning of our class, how God has made us to walk in community and unity. We are a body. We're a living organism made up of many parts, and we need each other. I need each of you to help me see and experience God more fully. And my part in that is being willing to come before you and to share my heart, to share what's going on in my life, and to invite others in to that. For a long time, I thought I was a pretty vulnerable person, and I felt like an open book, and people could see what's going on in my life, that sort of thing. But recently, God's been showing me that there's a difference between vulnerability and transparency. And transparency is kind of letting people see in, you know, kind of opening my life, pulling back the curtain, saying, hey, this is some of what's going on in here. But vulnerability, the difference in that is inviting someone in to it with you, someone to walk with you, someone to help you think about it, someone to engage with you about it. And so I just really want to encourage you, you guys, as you're walking in whatever you're going through, as you are seeing God reveal those things and you're giving them to Him, man, don't forget to invite others to walk with you in that. It's not that we share everything with every single person all the time, but we are created to walk in community. And so part of finding deeper soul rest in our Father is experiencing that, experiencing Him through one another. And you guys have been an incredible testimony of that in my life. And Wendy and I just want to say thank you. Thank you for letting me share some of these things with you today.